Okay, you can get started.
All righty, guys. All right. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone out there. You're here with MYG, the Muslim Youth Group at ISOC. Alhamdulillah, for another Friday night program that we have here, inshallah ta'ala, trying to be as consistent as possible. I know we all know that with the current pandemic, we are still in this Zoom mode. We try to have a couple in-person events. Hopefully you were able to attend. Of course, the COVID statistics are going up, unfortunately. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from this disease and give us a cure. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. And so with that, with the whole pandemic, you guys all know, you guys have been at home. You've been stuck to your screens. Your parents said, don't go out, watch out, don't be careful, wear your mask, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so tonight we have a fitting program where they're talking about the importance of family dynamics in Islam. And obviously Islam, something that emphasizes the importance of family very much, which we're about to go into. And so we're going to be dialoguing about that and with a youth perspective, if you will, for tonight. I myself is Shahid Ali, the youth director at ISOC, and we have two panelists here. We have Sister Fatima Patel, the MYG president for this year, alhamdulillah. And we have Sister Nadia Mahida, our MYG secretary that's on the board. And alhamdulillah, they're busy with their schoolwork and their family life, but they're also volunteering their time to put on these programs for you because they, alhamdulillah, they see the importance of it. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless both of them and their families for dedicating their time to organize these events. And inshallah ta'ala, hopefully soon, we'll be back at the masjid some date and time where we could all see you guys all again. So the importance of family in Islam, right? When we hear a title like that, like you can talk about the importance of health, right? And somebody says, okay, what does that mean? Well, like, what are the virtues? What are the benefits of health? Why is that important for, right? What are the, pros and advantages of being healthy? When you hear a topic like that, importance of family, what does that actually mean when we say importance of family, right? Give the analogy of health, but what does that actually mean? So I'm going to, before we get into it, I'm just going to ask our panelists here, so Fatima, Sister Nadia, you guys could chime in, whoever wants to go first. What is it, when you hear that phrase, importance of family, what kind of clicks into your head of what meanings are coming to you?
I mean, like you said, it's one of those things that seems as if it should be very self-explanatory, very obvious, but when you actually think about it, it's not that simple, especially because like with quarantine, we're all stuck together and things can get rough. But for me, importance of family is just learning how to handle difficult situations together and having healthy relationships in like all, being there for each other, supporting each other and being able to endure tough times together. No matter what you do, it's like, family is a bond. You're tied together, and that's, you have to stick to that.
So she's right. I'm saying pretty much what I'm kind of summarizing what you're saying is that the importance of that connection, family relationship, even through hard times and arguments, etc. And that's the importance of keeping those individuals and families together. That's where I kind of got that notion from what you're saying. Good. That's very good. Say again. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. No matter what happens between you guys, at the end of the day, your family, you're tied and like nothing can change that. And you have to learn how to just get along well with each other. And
awesome. Have you felt like you became a stronger relationship with your families because of this whole pandemic thing?
I think it's definitely taught me patience. I have a really, really big family. So I'm living with like my family of eight and my grandma too. So there's nine of us in a house together. And since March now, it gets intense. So it's definitely taught me a lot more about just cooperation, how to live together, how to be civil and patient. And those are some of the biggest things I've learned.
MashaAllah. Sister Nadia, what kind of terms come to your head when you hear importance of family?
So what first sticks out is the word importance. So it's not that we're trying to realize that they're important. We already know that they're important. So for me, the importance of family is recognizing that, like Sister Fatima said, that bond we have and that love we have for each other and how they are our support system through thick and thin. They are the people who will be there for you throughout all of it. And at the same time, they will be there for you unconditionally. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of accepting and realizing that unconditional love and unconditional support that you get from them.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, so that, once again, that's kind of very similar to Sister Fatima's kind of mentioning that this importance of caring for each other, forgiving each other, working with each other. And of course, when we're talking about human relationships, it's always tough because you're always going to have difference of opinion. And so that's what we're talking about today, is that how do we get over those difference of opinions and keep exactly what they just said, that relationship tight when things come in between and try to separate it, right? Whether that's differences, whether that's feel like you're being treated unfair, and all these different things that we're going to develop in. One thing we talk about, importance of family in Islam. One thing we see, that why is Islam so, why does Islam focus on family so much, is that number one, that it is the center of the Muslim community, right? When we use the word ummah, right? Community, the Muslim ummah, right? You think about all the Muslims in the world, right? Muslims in Pakistan, in Saudi Arabia, in Garden Grove, in New York. But if you zoom in, we're using Zoom. So if you zoom in to these families, what are you going to see? You're going to see a mom, a dad, or a father, a mother, or uncle. And then you're going to have children's running around. And that's one family. And then there's another one. And then that becomes a community of Garden Grove, the community of Anaheim, the community of New York, Texas, whatever. So when we break down the concept of ummah, which is so important of Islam, the Muslim Brotherhood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in the Quran of helping each other and working with each other and come together, praying in the masjid. When you zoom into it, it's just individual families. And if those individual families have issues and they're not working very well and they have problems, guess what? You're going to have major problems in the ummah, because the nucleus of that ummah is actually has issues, if you will. It's almost like a car, but if you zoom into it, if certain parts are not working, it doesn't matter if the car looks beautiful and nice, it's not going to get anywhere. So that's a really important why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, consistently in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, speaks so highly about families and making sure that they get along together, right? Before anything else, to making sure they get along together. And there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that mentions that the kinship, ar-rahm, yani muta'alliq bil-arsh. The Prophet said that the kinship, and kinship means blood relations, your brother, your sister, mom, dad, uncle, aunt, grandparents, etc., is connected to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet says that whoever, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the throne says, whoever unites me, Allah will unite him. And whoever severs me, Allah will sever his relationship with that person. So our relationship with our families, if you want to take it like almost in a metaphorical sense, at least what we're getting from this hadith, is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we break relationships with our family, our uncle, we don't talk to him anymore because of what happened back in 1995. And we don't talk to this cousin because he said this to me, blah, blah, blah. If we end up breaking relationships, right, or because of whatever else is happening, then that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also kind of be severed. And so, wow, that just kind of made things super important now, right? That how important those relationships are, because they are connected to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that's something that's to show the severity of the matter at hand. Another thing the Prophet said, لا يدخل الجنة القاطية. That the one who severs relationships with their family doesn't enter Jannah. This doesn't go in, right? Because if you think about it, Jannah is like a fun place. It should be all happy and nice, Disneyland times, 5 million, if you will, right? It's super, happiest place on earth or in heaven or wherever the domain Jannah is in. And what, you can't be seeing like a nephew, you can't be seeing your cousin like, what the heck are you doing here? Oh my gosh, man, I hate you. Remember what you did with me back when we were kids? You stole my lollipop, right? You took my samosa and you never gave it back to me. That it just doesn't work, right? That's not Jannah. That might be another place, if you will, if you get the point, right? So that's here, the Prophet ﷺ is showing how important is that family relationships that we have, and how much it is to keep them and maintain them, if you will. So I wanted to go just over it really quick of some statistics of family problems and issues that kind of go on, right? That's what we want to talk about today. And so what's really, really important, one thing I read, statistic is that The relationship of the parents, the mother and father of the marriage, is strongly related to the children's behavior and their development, their school engagement, if they're going to have depression, their behavioral problems, all goes back at how the mom and dad act. Now, this is a youth program, so you probably don't have a lot of moms and dads, you know, attending today. Maybe there's some out there. If you are, please put it in the chat box there that I'm a mom, I'm a dad here, I'm listening also. We would love to dialogue with you or ask you some questions. But they said how important that is of the health of the marriage is on the children. You guys all have friends, right? You guys, you know, in high school, and you know, have you guys heard stories of people's parents either going through a divorce or that argument, and then you see your friend, they're like, you can tell something's wrong. Have you seen or experienced anything like that before?
Oh yeah. I have a lot of friends, a lot of my friends actually have like difficult relationship with their parents, relationships with their parents have difficult relationships. So some of them, like, they don't have one parent in their life, or others, their parents are still together, but for the kids, and they have like a really bad relationship. And it's, I think one of the biggest things is that like it affects the way that they see their own relationships. So their friendships and their relationships with their siblings, it's all kind of like based off of how they see their parents treat each other. So if they're like their parents, they grow up seeing two people that are always arguing and aren't able to compromise. Then I have some friends that like flows, that affects their own relationships. Then my friends are suddenly very argumentative and unable to compromise. And it's something that I think a lot of us need to like overcome, like look at our parents, and even if their attentions, we all have to learn how to like overcome that and be better than that. You know what I mean? And I see it in a lot of my friends. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. SubhanAllah. How's it, Nadia? Have you seen anything like that or experienced that?
I see a lot, similar to Sister Fatima, I do see a lot of tense relationships, especially between the parental roles in many households. A lot of times it kind of gets difficult, you know, with divorced parents, which have become really common, where it's like, hey, I'm gonna go to my mom's this weekend, and then I gotta go to my dad's this weekend, and then I'm staying at my stepdad's house and my stepmom's house. And it also kind of like confuses the kid, because each person who has a role in their life has a different viewpoint on life. So their perspectives on everything differ very, very much. And that creates kind of like a sense of not having a stable identity.
Right. Oh, definitely. And for any youth out there that are in this type of situation, whether your parents are divorced or you live, you know, with only one parent, don't think you're necessarily at a disadvantage. You know, we're here to support you. We're here to try to help as much as possible. Obviously, we're all, you know, in this whole virtual state here. But one thing is that we look at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, he was born without a father in his life. He had to grow up with his uncle. His mom passed away when he was 6 years old. Right, and look how he turned out, you know, the greatest human being in the world. But of course, that's the selection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But nonetheless, this is something that definitely affects people. And if there's any parents out there, I would strongly, strongly urge you to reflect on your relationship with your spouse and how that impacts the children in the house. You know, if there's a lot of yelling, a lot of insults, unfortunately, inshallah, hopefully no physical abuse that's going on, that is super impactful. Those images are planted in children's heads, and even if they're teens, and that is something that will cause a lot of effect. I mean, it is natural that spouses are going to argue and they're going to disagree, but it's how they do that is a difference. And that's why Islam has a lot of great pointers for that. But obviously tonight's program is not about a marriage program. Inshallah, we'll try to have that another day. And then, you know, also talk about how to work through a problem. So yeah, that's one thing that statistics I often mention. Another thing that I found quite interesting that I found on this website called Act for Youth. And I believe they're a nonprofit, they're an organization that really help out youth and the different problems they go through. But they mentioned that frequent family meals where all the whole family gets together and eats dinner, is associated with higher self-esteem and positive academic outcomes, as well as decrease depression, alcohol and substance abuse, suicidal thoughts, and violent behavior. Just of them coming and eating. And all you guys, I know you guys could eat. I've seen some of you guys eat before. I'm subhanAllah, you guys, you know, food is no joke, right? So, but just coming and sitting at a table with your family has this type of repercussion. Cincinnati, what do you think? Why is a big difference that everyone's sitting at a table and eating? Is it because that, you know, it's just that it's just seeing someone eating food and looking out their mouth will make you feel better? What do you think? What effect? Why does that, is that such a big difference in children when they have this this environment in their household?
I feel like it is important to sit down and have family meals, because at the end of the day, that's when you are actually interacting with the people who you've lived with. It's kind of putting away all your distraction, all your devices, and having one-on-one talk with each other, getting to know each other, getting to express your love instead of, and learning about that love too, because at the end of the day, you know, although we are in the same house, we barely interact throughout the day because we are so lost in our own activities, our own things, especially at home these days with COVID. It is important, I feel like it is important just to sit down and have conversations about what's going on. And it's kind of a way to get, you know, all your stress and anxiety out by talking with the people who you trust.
Right. And if anyone who actually has family dinners, if you guys actually do this in your household, please put it in the chat. If you're on Facebook or if you're on YouTube or if you're here in the Zoom, just say, yes, we do it. And tell me how many times per week you do that. And kind of like what Sister Nadia is saying is that everyone's at the table. I mean, you have to chew your food, so you can't really talk when you're chewing, but you have to interact or also be a dead silent dinner table. And I think we all kind of had those situations. No one's talking at the dinner table because there's some issues going on. But, you know, everyone is not doing anything, at least not supposed to be doing anything else. Not supposed to be on your phone. I don't know a lot about you guys, but sometimes the TV is on during dinner time. So that kind of takes away because everyone's watching the football game or basketball or some sitcom. And so therefore we don't really interact. But what's understood here is that since everyone has to stare at each other, then someone's going to say, oh, what did you do today? Oh, what happened yesterday? Remember you said you had this exam, right? It's basically what, it's not necessarily the food, it's what, it's a conversation. Sister Fatima, you want to, what's another thing that you think that's really important when families come together? Is it just the dialogue itself or is there something else?
Nadia was really right in the sense that you have to get to know each other, because really, like, yeah, we're all blood related, but what makes family so important is the fact that you're all bond, you're all connected by blood, but you have to make an effort to form those relationships. And having a dinner together or having any meal together, really, it gives you a chance to not only get to know each other, but to ease out like any tensions, any problems that happen during the day or whatever's going on. It just gives you a chance to communicate. It's kind of like in a lot of time for communication, I guess, which is the basis for any healthy relationship.
Do you know other any youth that actually have this as a family? Is it pretty impossible to do this, or yourself? Is this hard to replicate on your own? I know you have a family of like 15 or 85 people in your house, or like whatever number you said. So that might be kind of tough. But do you think this is like almost like impractical?
It feels almost impractical, just because at least for me, it's hard to get everyone together at the same time, have them all like remove all distractions. It's just really difficult. And I don't know any people that actually do it on a regular basis.
Right. That's very tough.
It usually happens by chance.
Yeah. Or maybe a couple of members are at the table. So now do you think this is impractical? It's pretty much lost cause.
For me, since I do have a small family of four, we do have dinner together every single night. We don't have lunch or breakfast because we're all like different schedules, but by dinner time, we're all able to sit at the dinner table together and just, you know, converse.
Awesome. Pretty good. But more important question is that, what did you guys have for dinner tonight? That's probably more important.
Haven't had dinner.
We didn't have dinner yet.
What's on the menu?
I think my mom's making chicken tikka masala downstairs.
Oh, subhanAllah. Everyone, come to Sister Nadia's house tonight after the program. Free chicken tikka masala, inshallah ta'ala. So there you go. That's an invite right there. So yeah, you can't mess around with the CTM. All right. So alhamdulillah, right? So that's important that everyone's sitting there. It's more, and also there's a family bond when everyone's just at the table at one location, whether they're talking to each other, kind of like there's an aura that kind of goes on. I don't know if you guys, you know, Thanksgiving just happened recently, even though that's not necessarily Islamic holiday, but we just kind of get together and eat, usually families, because everyone's off from work, right? But it's also like a joyous time because everyone's there, you know, just sitting at a table together. It just like, it brings like a whole kind of like festival, like warm feeling. I think you guys could have maybe all admit to that. Someone's saying the chat room is not working. Hopefully if you guys are able to put something in the box there, hopefully it works. But if you have any comments or anything, inshallah, please go ahead and add that there. We'll love to hear your comments there. So what I want to do, another thing I'll talk about statistics is that something I've kind of researched online of like problems that families go through and they have. One thing, they had like a top 10, top five different problems. And number one was absent of communication. And that kind of goes back to the family dinner time, is that parents don't get to talk to their youth and the youth don't really get to talk to the parents. Or sometimes parents don't even talk to each other because one gets home, goes to the office, sits there, and the mom goes to another place in the kitchen or maybe taking care of the children or whatever is going on, if you will. And there's no time for any type of communication between the spouses and yet alone the children themselves. Lack of respect. So that could be that their children don't respect the parents, maybe because they could say things, but they don't do them themselves. Or sometimes youth feel that the parents are so out of tune of what they're going through, so they kind of blow off those opinions of what they are encouraging them or telling them to do. Or it could be that parents think the youth are too immature, so their opinion is not taken into consideration. So sometimes lack of respect is there. And if that's there, that's going to be a mounds of problems that are going to continue. Because if you don't have respect for somebody, you know, it's just that you will continue to treat them bad and kind of put them down for whatever they said. And sometimes people go through that in families for years and get treated like that because people in their own household don't value their opinion or value what they have to say. Lack of understanding. And that's kind of almost comes a lack of respect, right? People don't understand what the mom has to go through or what the dad has to go through. Or the children, I have exams, I have to do this, I got to do this project. And like, well, you have to clean up the house and you have to help out. And so what happens is that there's a lot of friction when that goes on because maybe the parents don't actually know how the dynamics of universities work and so forth. You know, I kind of always bring up this story. It always comes to my head. I have a friend that showed back in the day in high school, they had like a progress report. You guys have progress reports? You guys still have them? It's like mid, you know, it's kind of before the midterm, after like a quarter, you know, they put the grades on it. And so he did really well for one progress report. And so he showed his mom and like, oh, wow, mashallah, you're doing good. And then he showed his mom that same progress report for like 5 or 4 years straight or something. And she just kept on like, oh, mashallah, mashallah. But she never know that she's from another country. I'm not gonna say what country, but you know, it's not from America. They don't have progress reports when she was growing up. They barely had, you know, functioning schools, and you know, it wasn't nothing that was computerized or printed out and so forth. And so this was like, this looks at this paper, doesn't even really know exactly what this even means, but say, oh, you know, mashallah, you're doing so good. And so subhanAllah, so there's a lot of lack of understanding of like, you know, mom, I got this project, I got this presentation. You know, it could be a lot of our parents never really did presentations in their schooling, depends what generation your parents are from. And so it could be that, you know, that understanding. And of course, understand the parents about stress and getting home and working all day long and fighting traffic on the freeway and then coming home to find out that nothing's been done in the house and super messy. That's kind of hard also to swallow. So it's a vice versa thing right there. I know I'm the youth director. I'm supposed to side with you guys, but I have to be balanced at the same time, right? So these are some things, right, that that people have to go through. Dividing up chores was another top thing. Some family members stress you out, you know, that just keep on always on your back and you just cannot get them off it. And so that's another thing. So that's some statistics kind of warm us up. I wanted to go over about some stories of families in the Quran. And I really want people to pay attention to the statement I'm going to say right now. When you look at the stories in the Quran about families, you have Yusuf alayhi salam and his brothers, Ibrahim alayhi salam and his relationship with his father. You have Lut alayhi salam, once again a prophet, and a relationship that he had with his wife. You have Nuh alayhi salam, Noah, and his relationship with his son that didn't follow him on the ark and ended up drowning. Lut alayhi salam's wife stayed back and tried to help the people when they're wrongdoers, and she ended up getting destroyed with that community, even though the husband was saved. He had to deal with that. You had You have Ayub alayhi salam when he got sick those who know the story very well, his almost all his family just took off on him because he started getting very sick and looking very weird. Things were on him, and so they all ran away. The point I'm trying to say is that almost if you look at almost every story in the Quran that relates to families, maybe not every single one, but a great majority of them, you see that it's not very harmonious. It's not this beautiful picture with, you know, flower petals falling from the sky. There's problems. There's issues that are going on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala depicts it very well and shows them how people dealt with them. Why? Because that's the reality, right? This utopian picture of families sitting down, mom, dad smiling, you know, kids with bows in their hair, and you know, the boys all nice and look so preppy looking, taking family photos, and you know, skipping in the park with, you know, on the flower fields. Yeah, that's why they're called movies, right? And so there's a lot more reality to what we see, and that is what life's about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give us trials and tests. So we go to Yusuf alayhi salam. I really want to focus on this. You know, he's a youth and he had, you know, a lot of other brothers. All of them were more like his stepbrothers, and he had one other blood brother with him. And other brothers, so we know, you guys know the story very well, felt that he was favored by his father, Yaqub alayhi salam, or their father, if you will. And so what happens? What do? They plot to do what? What do you know? What do you guys know? Sister Nadia, Sister Fatima, what do they do to Yusuf alayhi salam? I see Sister Fatima. Passing it on to Sister Nadia. What do they do to, what did they plot? Or those who are in the crowd, virtual crowd out there, you could type in, what did the brothers plan to do to Yusuf alayhi salam? Go, Nadia. I think you're muted, Nadia, if you're talking or if you're thinking. I'm not too sure. Yusuf alayhi salam. Hint. Well, there's a well.
They pushed him down the well.
Yeah, right. You don't really push someone out, you throw him down the well, right? And so what happens, they trick their father, not really trick him too much, but they said, we want to take Yusuf out, alayhi salam. We want to take him out to the desert and we want to go play with him. And dad kind of knows something's up. But anyhow, out of jealousy, they throw him down a well. Okay, I mean, one thing if your sibling takes your phone, wears your clothes, you know what I mean, eats the last cookie, finishes the ice cream, and you're like, I didn't even get any, and then like you have this open, you know, empty container of ice cream. They don't even throw it away, they leave it in the freezer. So you purposely are all excited and then you open it up, and there's nothing in there, right? So I mean, we have those type of problems, but I don't think you guys have any sibling, hopefully, inshallah ta'ala, that didn't try to throw you down a well or put you down the gutter or some like random hole in Garden Grove or, you know, Fountain Valley or something, right? But they seriously threw him down a well and they took off. They just, you know, just said peace out, didn't leave any food with them or anything. And and then what happened is that some people come by, take Yusuf alayhi salam, I'm going to kind of speed through the story here, sell them into slavery. That's one thing, if you fall down a well, you don't know if you're ever going to come back out or you're going to die. But now you get sold into slavery and now he gets, you know, sold into this palace, which is actually a pretty nice life in a palace, but he's a servant. Ends up, you guys know the story, he goes into jail, the prison, because he got accused of doing something he didn't do. Now he's in prison. Imagine, what do you think of Yusuf alayhi salam thinking right now? Man, my brothers, those guys, those fools threw me down into this hole, and now I got sold into slavery, and now I got accused of something I didn't do, and now I'm in jail, in prison, and I don't have no idea when I'm going to get out of this place. And he stayed there for years in that prison. Finally, he comes out, right? Because he knew it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with the interpretation of dreams. The king found out that he was, you know, able to interpret dreams. And the king had this really crazy dream. He interpreted to him. He said, all right, I'm going to make you my finance minister. And guess what? Now he's the finance minister of this palace. Okay. But what's really interesting is that what happens, if you guys know the story very well, his brothers end up coming to that palace and he looks at them, he says, oh my God, those are my brothers. But they don't recognize him, right? And what he tells them that, you know what, I'm Yusuf and I know what you guys did to me. Now, what do you think? Payback is coming up now, right? But Yusuf alayhi salam, after knowing that these are the people that threw him down a well, says, لا تثرب عليكم اليوم. Right? يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين. I mean, if you guys were able to make a statement like this next time your sibling really gets at you, you know, alhamdulillah. He looks at his brothers. Remember, these are like his half-brothers. So you can't even say like, you know, is this half-brother? He doesn't have to be like totally loving to them. But no, he looks at them and says, there's no reapproach. There's no blame. There's no retribution I'm going to put on you today. And may Allah forgive you. And he is the most forgiving. Wow. Okay. Like they're like, well, hold on, man. We threw you down a well. And, you know, we didn't really mean to, but yeah, maybe we did. And now you went to jail and everything. But he forgives his brothers. Why? It's because he understands that's his family. If it was someone else, Allahu Alam, right? He's a prophet, so he probably would have probably forgiven him anyhow. But he forgives them and he brings his family and lives with them. And like I said, what's the points that we could get from this story is that, and that's the reason why we have the Quran, we have these lessons there for us, is that he's dealing with siblings that have jealousy. And those who have siblings know that jealousy is 100% going to be there. Something is going to happen. You're going to get something that your sibling didn't get, or they're going to get something, you know, that you didn't get. You're going to feel that they get the special fork and the plate and cup at dinner table, and I don't get that. And little silly things, but it'll start building. Shaitan will try to keep on putting you there and can try to divide you between your brother and your sister or your parents, whatever the case may be. But Yusuf alayhi salam is above that. He understands what Shaitan is trying to do. And he says, no, I forgive you guys today. Right? And that's one of the hardest things to say is I forgive you or I'm sorry. Especially in families, you really have to practice those statements. Right? And you're like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to show that I'm weak. And they're going to take advantage of me. Well, now it's a pride thing now. Right? And it could be that it might be true that they might do that. But the thing is that you have to understand your own character and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from you. So imagine Yusuf alayhi salam, right here. He knows that this is his brothers, and this is what he says back to them, and able to forgive them, right? You guys think that's as tough? Is that tough to do? Sister Nadia said yes. I know Sister Nadia has a sister. Fatima has like what? How many siblings do you have, Fatima? She has to count. Oh my gosh.
Hold on. I have an older sister, 3 younger sisters, and a little brother. That's 5. I have 5 siblings.
I'm glad you remembered the numbers of
it. It takes me a minute.
It must be really important to you. Right, so that's definitely something you might be definitely going through. I mean, that's hard, something natural, right? I mean, Allah protect us, you know, from having these type of feelings. But yeah, that's tough. But you see, we have these stories. And next time you might be going through something like that, you think about who? Yusuf alayhi salam. That he was able, if you know, if somebody takes your last of the ice cream, at least I could think about, well, Yusuf, no, that's not as bad as being thrown down into a well, you know, and then getting all the else that happened afterwards, and then still forgiving your brothers, because you understand who those are, those people are in your family. Another story I kind of want to go over, and that's mentioned in the Quran, is Ibrahim alayhi salam and his father. So this is a youth and a parent relationship, okay? We all know in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not say uff to your parents. Now, uff is not even a word, it's a sound. You know when your parents tell you something, you go, yeah, you don't say anything, but they know that you're upset and you did the sound, you know what I mean? That whatever saliva pushing through your teeth sound, I don't know what that is, right? Right? And so they know that, But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't even do that. That's a tall order. You know, forget about saying that, okay, I'll do my chores tomorrow, right? Or, you know, whatever else someone else might say. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, you know, basically watch what you say. You know, don't talk back type thing. Parents love to say that to their children, right? And so here we have a story that Ibrahim alayhi salam is guided. He's a prophet. He lives in a city that they're worshiping idols, right? The biggest sin that, you know, that can be, if you will. And his father is the one that does what? Carves the idols out. He makes his livelihood of selling idols. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is in a household that not just is involved in these idols, but produces and promotes the worship of idols. Imagine the friction at the dinner table in Ibrahim alayhi salam's house. He's sitting there with his dad It wasn't known that he had any other brothers, or even if his mom was was there either. But you know, what would you talk about? You know, hey dad, you know, like what idol did you make today? Did you make the big one or the small one? You know, did you make it out of stone or wood? You know, did you cut your finger when you're making it? You know, like what, you know, you might be sitting there like, oh my gosh, out of all families I have to lie in. But that's the situation he was in, right? But you know what? As a prophet, as being guided, he has to inform his own family about what? These idols are wrong, you know? And sometimes we like to do that as youth, if I'm still considered youth, I don't know. Maybe you guys still consider as youth, is that you want to tell your parents, you know, explain them or maybe try to correct them and maybe a misunderstanding or how things are done. But you want to do it in a respective way that doesn't really put them down. And but sometimes it's very hard to do that. So Ibrahim alayhi salam is sitting there and he says something to his dad. He says, Ya Abati. And those who know Arabic, Abati is different than Ya Abi. Kind of means like my dear father, you know. So Ya Abati, he says like, why do you worship? Dad, why do you worship something that doesn't hear, it doesn't see, it doesn't really benefit you or anything, right? And so, you know, he's trying to like, you know, he's telling like this is misguidance. He's trying to put it in a really nice way. But how does his father react to him? What does he say? This is all in Surah Maryam, in chapter number 19 in the Quran. His father turns to him and says, "Qala araghibun anta an alihati ya Ibrahim, la in lam tantahi la arjumannak wahjurni maliya." He said, "Oh Ibrahim, do you have no desire to worship our idols?" Is that pretty much what you're saying, right? He said, "If you do not stop this preaching and ridiculing of our idols, la arjumannak. Arjumannak means that I would stone you." Okay. Not put you on timeout, not take off the Wi-Fi, right? Not take away the tablet from you and your phone. I'm gonna throw stones at you. Pretty much me, I'm gonna kill you. Okay? Wahjurni maliya. You know what happens a lot of times when people get mad, they end up saying things that they don't really, you know, mean. Like, I hate you, get out of the house, never come back. And then like, you know, 30 minutes later, 50 minutes later, Where do you go? I was like, well, you told me not to come back. I was like, no, I'm your mother. You have to come back, okay? And so, you know, parents sometimes, youth sometimes, people sometimes, they're so angry, they'll say these things are super hurtful, right? Sometimes, unfortunately, they say things that are really insultive. You're dumb, you're stupid. Unfortunately, these words come out, right? Let's be real, right? And then the people realize what they say. But the father said, like, I'm going to basically kill you if you don't stop this and get away from me, like leave, okay? How does Ibrahim answer that as a youth? Family, like that's a very intense moment in the household right now, right? He's looking at his dad like, dang, my dad basically wants to beat me down. He's about to throw me out just because I told him don't worship idols, you know? And it doesn't, you know, I thought that was kind of logical, but I guess that didn't work out too well. He says, "Qal as-salamun alayk." He tells his dad, "Peace, may peace be upon you." Right? "La astaghfiru laka rabbi." That I'm going to ask Allah for forgiveness for you. Okay? Like, I see what's going on. I'm going to, you know, ask Allah for you. Not I'm going to ask Allah to punish you and make a rock come down and squash your head down. Right? He says, what? I'm going to ask Allah to forgive you. Right? And sometimes when we're arguing, we're like, I wish you get hurt. I wish you fail that exam. And then people just go off and you're like, whoa, what's going on? But here, like, subhanAllah, Ibrahim alayhi salam, as a youth, he is super composed. I don't know if you guys ever been threatened like that. Maybe a family member said something really crazy to you. You're like, blood starts pumping and you're just like, oh, you feel so offended. And like, oh my gosh. But he's like, salamun alayk. Dad, you know, peace be upon you. And I'm going to ask Allah to forgive you and ask for forgiveness for you. Okay. And then he pieces out and leaves because dad kicked him out of the house. Okay. But anyhow, and he had to leave the city, right? Or they did try to burn him in the big fire, right? But here it shows you, why did Ibrahim alayhi salam, why did he act that way? What did you think, Sister Fatima? Why didn't he say like, dad, there are rights I'm going to call the, whatever parent behavior hotline, and I'm going to report you, right? You know, dad, you're crazy. You know, you're insane. What are you talking about? You know, how dare you try to kill me? Try to kill me, I'll kill you. We'll kill each other. You know, how did you think he answered himself that way? Why do you think his explanation was like so well profound? What made him get answer the way he did?
That's tough. I can't imagine being that like composed. That's amazing. But I think one is that we've been talking about the importance of family, and he understood that. Like, it's still his father. He still showed respect and like human decency despite a huge difference of agreement, difference of opinion, sorry. And also I think just knowing that he had nothing to gain from getting angry too. Like, had he done that, it would have just put a bad name on the religion that he wanted to preach, that he wanted to bring his father to as well. So I think that's another understanding. But yeah, he had respect for his dad despite being threatened to
Good. Yeah, I think you explained it very well, mashallah. Very good, very good. Yeah, and he understood that right before he's answering, who is he talking to? And I think a lot of us disappoint is that anytime we get another argument within our family, we have to think, who am I replying to again? Is it someone on the street? Is it my friend? Is it someone, you know, who posted on my Facebook that I don't even know their name is, you know, Khalid 9567, you know what I mean? I'm never going to meet this person again. I could just whatever. They understand that this is my family member. That's my father. That's my, go ahead.
The youth don't really use Facebook that much anymore. I feel like you should know that.
Instagram, sorry. TikTok. I don't know if you could post on TikTok. I guess you can. I don't know. Sorry, so yeah. You kind of cut out.
Oh, nothing. I said I'm teaching you how to connect with us, you know, as youth director.
Yes, I need to connect with you guys a lot more, right? So like, you know, and so here you can hide behind some of these things, but when you deal with somebody, you understand, Cleon, I'm about to reply back to my mother. Okay, I'm really upset. I don't think she's being fair, but at the end, it's my mother, right? Even though I feel like maybe she's not, you know, treating me well, but sometimes you have to pocket that pride. Hey, you might have to just walk away. Say, no, I don't think, if I reply, I don't think anything beneficial is going to come out. Just going to go to my room and we'll think this out and we'll see what the next steps are. And obviously, there's a lot to go more that goes into that. But Sister Nadia, you want to add into that, like in terms of Ibrahim's, Al-Islam's reaction?
I completely agree with what Sister Fatima said. And I feel like Prophet Ibrahim, he said that his actions were justified because probably in his head, he's all like, my father has taken care of me for my whole entire life. He still deserves love and respect, even though he's not giving it to me, because at the end of the day, I am his son. He is my father, and he has done more for me than I have done for him.
Good. And that's what I thought, one lesson we could take here tonight for the parents out there, if anyone's parents are there, and definitely for the youth. Once again, try to think before you answer back to your family member, who am I speaking to? That's my blood relation, my blood kin, if you will. That's my blood relative that... before I insult someone, they have to, one thing I want to understand is that your blood connection, your blood, your kinship, your blood relatives you have need to be on a different pedestal than normal people in the world. That's just what Islam does, okay? Whether that those people on that pedestal, you believe they don't deserve it, there's some that's below that treat you better. I have some friends, for example, that much more respectful to me than my cousin or my uncle. Right, and that might be true, but nonetheless, just because they have the term, title, uncle, auntie, brother, sister, mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, whatever, then they automatically get a different type of tone. Even though they're 100% wrong, right? Even though they were 100% unfair, right? There's certain respect. Doesn't mean they're right, that you talk to them back in a polite way. Doesn't mean that they're what... their actions were as correct and they're, you know, they can go ahead and treat people bad, whatever the case may be. No, that has to be addressed, right? But your character, like Ibrahim alayhi salam, he tries to, and this is what happens, right? I don't know if you guys have had this before, where you try to be polite and be the nice one. Well, you guys, well, you know what? I think that, you know, Ahmed doesn't do as much chores as I do. And so I think he should vacuum this week. I vacuumed the last 14 weeks. So can you tell him to vacuum? Your mom's like, no, you vacuum. okay, but I just said I did it 14 weeks now, right? So, but to keep that, like I'm talking to my mom, I'm gonna have a different composure, right? Even though I believe my mom is 100% wrong, but okay, I'm gonna end up doing what she said because it's my mother. I'm gonna try to reason, you know, try to reason, see if we get to the same common space. We have to dialogue, we have to communicate. But the way I'm gonna communicate, I'm not gonna be insultive, I'm not gonna be name calling. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? You know, sometimes you try to be polite, but then someone say like, well, stop talking back. Like, I'm not, mom, I'm not talking back. I'm just trying to say that I did it 14 weeks. No, you're being rude and insultive. No, I'm not being rude and insultive. I didn't say that I feel like he should do it, right? You know, and you know, have some more respect for me. I don't know, how am I disrespecting you, right? And you could go crazy. And so that's what happened. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he comes with all this politeness. Yeah, Abati, oh my dear father, why do you worship idols for? They don't hear, they don't talk, they don't really benefit you. So dad, what do you think? Oh, I'm gonna kill you if you keep on bringing up that nonsense every time to me. Oh, what the? Dad, I'm like, whoa, dad, I mean, I didn't even come at you like that. Now you're coming at me like that? So what did Ibrahim say? Did he come at him? No, he just said he kept his same level. He's like, oh, salamu alaykum. Like that, I'm gonna, you know, peace be upon you. You know, may Allah bless you and forgive you. But I'm gonna leave. I mean, if that's the way it's gonna be, and I'm gonna ask Allah to forgive you. He kept one way, even though the dad went up, you know, 10 levels and was super insultive and threatening and so forth. And if you're able to do that, Allahu Akbar. That's why they're prophets, and that's why we have so much respect for them. And that's why they're unbelievable people, the way that they're, you're human, but there are ways that they able to mold and tame their nafs and their desires and their soul is something amazing. You know, inshallah ta'ala, we could get to that level. And so that is what we're thinking about. So the next time you have a conflict, you try to be polite and you might not get politeness back to you. Think about who? Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? You want to ask something, Fatima?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, think about who you're talking to.
Oh, yeah. I threw that one in there earlier. Yes, definitely, right? But then, it's implied with Ibrahim alayhi salam. So we have Yusuf alayhi salam to think about in terms of forgiveness. We have Ibrahim alayhi salam to think about in terms of respect, composure, tone, communication. You know, like I said, you could feel like you're being totally polite, and someone can say, oh, you're just so rude. I was like, how am I rude? I don't get how am I rude. And that stuff just kills you when you're like, oh my God, I didn't do anything. And then you start getting crazy now. You want to see rude? I'll show you rude. And then you're like, oh, now everything is gone, right? And so, but see, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he didn't go down that street. He didn't go down that route, and, you know? And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with that hilm. Hilm is that forbearance, you know, to be halim. Yani, not the food halim, but to be halim, to be forbearing, and have that. You know, I remember Sister Nadia's mom is also making some halim. Inshallah, we'll see if for the chicken tikka masala and the halim, COVID-free, good meal. Inshallah ta'ala, one of these days we'll have her mother cook for us. Inshallah ta'ala, since she volunteered, so we'll see that. We'll have to pick her up on that notion. So what do I want to do for the last 10 minutes or 11 minutes we have? I have some scenarios, some mock scenarios. And we're going to put Sister Fatima and Sister Nadia as the family counseling service, MYG counseling service, on the hot seat and see what they could do with these scenarios that come up. And inshallah ta'ala, we could kind of benefit from it and see like how can it improve our family dynamics. So the first scenario I have, we have Amir. He thinks his parents don't understand what he has to go through and what other kids his age are allowed to do and go. He doesn't regard his parents' opinion very well, very much, nor does he think that's very important. When he's told to come home at a certain time, he thinks it's unfair, and so therefore, he comes out a little bit later. And when his parents try to give him certain rules, he tells them that this is unfair. Mom, other kids are doing other things that I'm not allowed to do. And so therefore, I think I'm just in doing these other things. How would you advise Brother Amir in dealing with his parents, or he could be right, he could be wrong. What do you think? So this is the respect type, you know, angle that he's having issue with. So Sister Nadia says, either one could jump in.
I'm just getting flashbacks to all the times this has happened to me. I think it's important to understand, like, why, Amir, if you're listening, understand why your parents said no in the first place. Because sometimes, even though other kids are doing it, doesn't mean it's a good thing to be doing. You know, if your parents are preventing you from doing it, they hopefully have a good reason for doing so. So bring up that conversation with your parents. Understand, like, why exactly you're not allowed to do it. And if they're doing it for your own good, then you might feel that they don't understand you, but it's also our job to try and understand them and where they're coming from.
Okay.
So that's a conversation to have.
Good. Sister Nadia, do you want to add anything there?
I completely agree with Sister Fatima. I feel like communication is key, and you got to tell your parents, if you feel like they're being unfair, like, explain to them from your perspective why they're being unfair. And your parents will probably argue back and tell them their perspective. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of back and forth, but with that communication, you guys can find a middle ground.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And if there's any parents out there, is that explain to your youth or your children why curfew is at 6 o'clock. Oh, because we're scared that you might, you know, get kidnapped after 6 o'clock. It's very dangerous in Garden Grove. Like, well, mom, no. I mean, it's not, what's the crime rate in Garden Grove? Why, what, you know, is it really that bad? You know? And so if you just say, no, come home 6 o'clock, because I said so. Okay, well, yeah, you're a parent. You get to pull those type of cards, but that's not always going to be the best dynamics of a family relationship. But you have to explain why you cannot go to the football game on Friday, why you can't go to the mall. You know, this is all pre-COVID stuff here. Why can't you go to the mall with your friends, or you cannot, you know, go kick in and go get boba down the street at blah, blah, blah. You know, explain to them that. And then also for the parents to understand the situation that the children are in. And one thing Islam really does is look at culture, and it acknowledges culture as a factor in terms of relationships and law, actually. Doesn't mean everything in customs and culture is actually correct. You could say, mom, you know, there's prom coming up, all the kids are going to prom. No, that's not going to work, right? But yeah, even though all the kids are doing it, all the kids are wearing tight clothes, no, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to do that, right? But there's other things that we have to understand that our youth are going through that is actually the norm, that yes, 6 o'clock is actually not, you know, maybe that's not really practical. It's not maybe a big issue, if you will, maybe another time, if you will, right? That's fair, and other kids are going through. Of course, that's your child. You want a child to be safe. So you need to also think about that also. So here is that communication and explaining why you can't, kids don't do that. And for a youth to say rebellious and say, mom, parents don't understand, they're old school, they just, you know, came to America, you know, a couple months ago, and they don't understand what, you know, America or children have to go through. And so therefore, I'm just going to blow off their opinion. That's not going to work also. It's not going to get you anywhere too. But here is that kind of, maybe you have to tell them, you know, let them meet your friends also and see who your friends are and other things, so they understand, oh, I'm a little bit more comfortable if you're going to go out with so-and-so. So, okay. And that could be another reason why maybe the parents are so strict. Fatima, you want to add something? Or?
Yeah, just a couple of things. One, on behalf of all youth, to the parents, because I said so never goes across well. All due respect, it's very frustrating for us, because we like to have reasons. We need to understand why these things are good for us, or why you have the reasons that you do. Also, another thing that I think is important to understand is, a lot of our parents, I feel, came from areas where they had bigger Muslim communities. And so that just made it easier to fit in, because a lot of you guys were having similar experiences. But for us, especially here in Orange County, we don't have a lot of, like, a lot of my friends aren't Muslims, but I try my best to hang out with them and have good relationships. But it's important to understand that feeling of not fitting in is probably something that a lot of them are going through. And it's a struggle, because what we see as, like, in Islam, a lot of the things that we have, people see as restrictions, and it's kind of at this time, like, don't wear tight clothes, don't do drinking, don't go to parties, don't listen to music. That can, it, at our age in teenage years, it feels a lot like restrictions. So be understanding of the fact that they're probably doing a lot socially. That's difficult. But I also had a question. What should we do as youth if our parents are being extremely like uncompromising, unwavering in their ground, even if they're being like really unreasonable at the same time? Is there anything we can do beyond having a polite conversation?
You could have them call me. I'd love to talk to them. But no, also it's one thing, like I kind of like you, what you guys said, is that to try to get them to understand your situation, communicate. And I really think, I think kind of worked on when I was growing up, and maybe works with some of you, is that if your friends come over to the house, and I used to have my friends all the time play basketball, play video games. And so my mom got to meet all the ones I kick it with, if you will. I saw like these guys are not drug dealers, and they're not gangsters, they want to play sports, play video games just like myself. And that kind of, and I didn't have any Muslim friends when I was in high school. Not saying that's going to be the same case for everyone here, but I think that I felt like my parents wasn't as strict. And so, they were able to say, okay, you're going to go with, Johnny, you're going to go with this person. You guys are going to go to the football game. You're going to do this, whatever. Then they were more, have that trust. And then they knew Johnny's parents also, right? And so that if you're going to go out, okay, I know them. I got, especially now we're in the cell phone age. Back in the day, we didn't have no cell phone. So when they're out, they're just hoping you're going to come back. And, at that certain time, they can't track you at all. It's just a dua and that inshallah, you're going to come back, But you guys could be communicated like every split second, pretty much where you're at, which I thought would be a little bit more easier. Doesn't mean it's going to be safer though. But I think that trust will really help. If this talking about a friend's thing, if you will, and going out, we're talking about curfews. If you're talking about another thing, I don't know exactly what there's a certain situation you're talking about. But I think that's really helps that the friend that your parents meet your friends, and if they meet your friend's parents also, I think that's really helpful. I know a lot of times, your friend's parents may ever like, who knows where they're at or if they ever come out, right? So that might be something that's maybe a little bit more difficult, but that might be an angle. I don't know. Have you guys tried that at all?
Yeah, I have my friends come over to my house. But I find that no matter how many times they come over, my parents still struggle to remember who I'm talking about. So like I'll say, hey, I'm going to go out with Ashley, the girl that I've been friends with for like 4 years now. She came over to our house. Like during Ramadan, we ate together for iftar. and they won't know who I'm talking about. But yeah, they're a little more lenient, I think, just because as I'm getting older and because I have my phone, and also my family's too big for them to be super hard on me, so I get really lucky with that. But yeah, I have brought my friends over and it helps a bit.
And just Nadia, what have you experienced?
For me personally, my parents are okay with inviting friends over. They just get a little bit like jittery and stuff because if they don't know the person and stuff. I do have friends who, my best friends have really strict parents. So if one of our parents say no, that means we're not hanging out at all. So.
Are they Muslim also? Are you talking about Muslim?
No, non-Muslim.
Oh, interesting. Wow, you have a rough neighborhood there where you live. Must be a really bad area. But anyhow, cross street from the masjid. But anyhow. But inshallah. Yeah, I mean, like I said, every family is different. That's why some parents say, like, hey, what do you think about this? Well, I mean, there's a lot of variables about your child, a lot about your child's maturity, how much they are mature and responsible. I can tell one youth that this is very mature and responsible. And it could be another person that cannot apply the same rules because they just don't have that. And so there's not a general thing I can just paint over and say, this, all the parents out there, here, go with this thing, or you're going to be A-okay, right? But, one thing I will tell the parents out here, we're going to have to extend the time here a little bit, is that look at Luqman alayhi salam's story in chapter 31, Surah Luqman, that he tells his son about, gives him like the aspect of taqwa, know that Allah could see everything, a mustard seed under a rock. He's basically trying to say that, even though I'm not going to be there with you all the time, Allah sees you. So if you're going to do anything, there's going to be someone else greater that you're going to have to respond to and answer to. And when you instill that in youth and in youth ourselves, that we have this, when you go outside, even though your mom might not know where you're at, you yourself understand that, I have something who higher to answer to. Now, not all youth are going to get that. You know what I mean? They're not even at that level yet. But like I said, you know, it's something that could be very difficult to give you one general answer for everybody. Let's go to scenario number two really quick. Safa, okay, is hooked on her Netflix series and has to keep her Instagram account updated and comment on her friend's post. Her social media life is very, very important to her and her popularity. At the dinner table, she has her phone on and constantly checking her messages. Her parents can barely speak to her, nor does she conversate with them at dinner. How to handle the situation? Is it a problem? Is it normal? What things can we apply here?
So personally, I do not think that is healthy because being that much on social media does take a toll. And, you know, it kind of hurts admitting it because I do have social media platforms, but it is unhealthy to be that into it. So I think that's when the parents got to kind of like say, hey, no phones at the table and something, because it really does take a toll on not only like our physical health, but our mental health as well.
So what would you apply? What would be the ruling? What would be something that we could advise or set for that dinner table?
It can be something as simple as no electronic devices at the dinner table.
You think that'll work with Sister Safa here?
Well, probably not, but I did watch a documentary with my mom. It was called The Social Dilemma on Netflix. And a mom tried to like put their phones in some like locked container where she's the only one who can access it. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Yeah. Heard about that. Sister Fatima, what would you advise?
This is difficult, Sheikh Shahid. You made these a little too relatable. No, personally,
is your life here?
I'm not that big on social media. I use it to like text friends and stuff, but I don't do much posting or Instagram lives or whatever. I've definitely gotten into a Netflix series or two. If you're doing it at the dinner table, which I have done, sometimes my parents just have to crack down on me. Like they will take my phone away, or they'll, it's frustrating, but they do it, or they'll, they really just, I don't know, my parents will say it and I'll do it. So personally, I don't want to get in trouble, but for her, I'd say one, on the parent side, I think it's normal. Right now, teenagers just wanting to, not like being obsessed with technology, but wanting to communicate with their friends all the time, because at this phase, it's like they're more connected to their friends than they are to their family, because they feel, or we, why am I saying they? We feel that we can connect to our friends more, that our friends understand us better than our parents. So I think it's one of those things where like there's just a huge gap and you're not really understanding each other. I think the parents are gonna have to crack down, have that conversation. Just set some boundaries, like at the dinner table, okay, no phones, then other time it's your phone, you can use your screen time however you choose, and like slowly make those developments. It's not going to happen all at once, but maybe say, hey, for dinner today, put your phone away, then tomorrow for lunch, put your phone away, and just try like one meal a day, and then whatever happens, it's going to take time, but slowly set some boundaries, I think, if it's
possible. Yeah, I think you hit a really key point about gradualism, just like slowly implementing certain things. And we just kind of went over that statistic about family dinners, right? How that impacts youth and their health and their academic, you know, progress and you know, advancement. And if they're just sitting there without touching anything and they're actually communicating with the people at that table. So, that's maybe, that could be like a no phone electronics zone, that table area, if you will, right? You can't bring it into that area and you must leave them out or something like that. If you will, not think about dinner is only like what, 30 minutes probably for the most, you know, and you could get right back into it or whatever the parents allow afterwards.
And as it happens gradually, like whoever the teenager is, Safa, I think that was the name, I can't remember. Yeah, like you'll eventually start to, if it happens slowly, the further along you get, the more you're gonna wanna take that initiative on your own. Because if it's having positive effects, like the study shows, you know, family dinners, if it's having a positive effect, then you're gonna want more of it. And slowly, it's not gonna be like the parents won't have to crack down as much, and it'll kind of be a personal choice for her or for whoever it is. And it's kind of something that you learn along the way. Like, that's, it'll happen slowly, but I think she'll learn on her own. And just age, I think with time, starting to like grow up a little bit and understand social media more, the effects of it, and connecting more with your family. That's, sometimes you just have to wait it out, I think.
Yeah, yeah, I think definitely this whole thing is causing a lot of issues within families, even spouses, husband and wives, you know, they're on their phone. I mean, I've been to restaurants where I see a whole family sitting, like 8 people, every single one of them are at the dinner table with a phone in front of them. Maybe they ordered already and they're just waiting for their food. And I was like, wow. And you've probably seen pictures like this where everyone's there and there's a dinner table and no one's talking. And they could be chatting with each other, probably, who knows, right? That'd be even funnier. But it's really sad. And that's causing a lot of problems with, like I said, when people don't know how to communicate with each other anymore or interact with their own family. If anyone out there is out and wants to add anything that you think that might be good or what you have done with your own family to control that, please put in that chat box or post it there in Shalatala. We can kind of go over it. Let's go over one more. I have 2 more scenarios, but Meredith, let's go over once. We're running over time. Next one, we have Omar. Okay. Feels that he has to do more chores than his sister Aisha and that his parents favor her more. They like to call her princess and baby girl and doesn't have any adoring nicknames for himself. She gets what she wants because she is younger and is consistently being told, and he is consistently being told that he is older and needs to be responsible and more mature. This has caused him to distance from his parents in the house, stay in his room more, where he finds his friends that respect him and treats him well when he messages and talks to them online and playing games with them. How do you think we deal with this situation with poor Omar? Do you think he deserves that? He's the boy in the family, he's older, and Aisha is just a princess, and just let her be the princess? What do you think, Nadia?
Okay, first of all, it's always the opposite. It's never who does the chores and doesn't get treated like a princess.
It's
opposite.
Scenarios where the guy does more chores than the girl, regardless. Okay, unless it's like an 18-year-old and like a 5-year-old who can't do chores, it's almost always guaranteed 100%, 99.99% of the time, the girl is just.
Oh, should I switch the names? I'll switch the names around. Aisha, and then Omar is called little King. Okay.
Yes.
Omar is called Little King and Baby Boy. Okay. So how do you think we can help Aisha? That's not the princess anymore. She's just, you know, Cinderella, right? And little King and baby boy doesn't get, assigned as much chores. How can we help Aisha here?
I think this is where communication really comes in, because, you know, it's like the whole situation is just not fair. And we see it a lot in cultures where it's all like, the girl, you have to do this because you're a girl, and you're a boy, you gotta like sit around and stuff. So I think this is where
boys sit around. Okay, good. No problem. Go ahead. I'll let you go.
As kids, we need to bring this up to our parents and be like, this for us is not okay, because we're pretty much the same as him. It just, we need to set some boundaries, because Omar obviously needs to do stuff too. It can't only be Aisha, because Aisha is probably overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think communication comes in. It's like, hey, this is not fair. Can he actually take on some stuff?
Got you. This is Savatama. Do you want to add anything?
Yeah. So beyond the gender thing, like for me, growing up with 5 sisters, right? I think that's the right number. I don't know. Right. For me, for the 5 of us, it wasn't like a gender thing, but a lot of the times I still end up doing more chores than the rest of my siblings, and it's really frustrating. So like this conversation happens with my parents, why can't they do it? Why can't she do it? Why can't the other person do it? There's like 4 more of me, get one of them to do it. And I think it comes to like the understanding that, one, chores is like a life skill that every single person needs to know, like in order to like be your own person and to be able to support yourself. I feel like everyone should be learning life skills, regardless of who you are in the family. It's something that you should all be that you should, that each kid in the family should know how to do, first of all. But I think that's kind of, in this situation, I'd say it's more, yes, the child should be respectful when having the conversation, but the parents should definitely be understanding of the fact that it is not fair to have one child doing that many chores or more chores than the rest. And yeah, there's certain situations when the other person can't do it, so you'll give it to Aisha, right? Or you'll give it to me, whoever. But I think in this situation, it would be on the parents to equally divide the work and say, hey, okay, you're busy at this time, we'll give it to your brother, sister, whatever. And then when your brother, sister is busy, then you'll take over and then do different chores and like rotate it. I think some families like to do schedules for chores. Like on this day, this person will do this chore, like Mondays and Wednesdays, Aisha will wash the dishes. Tuesdays and Thursdays, Omar will wash the dishes. Right. And then like alternate days for laundry or whatever it is. I know some families like to have schedules, so that could be a solution. But I'd say it's more on the parents to divide the work fairly.
Yeah, definitely. We see like a common theme here for a lot of our answers is communication, communication, communication. And those who've been stuck in a situation like this know that sometimes it just doesn't work. You're going to end up doing the chores a lot, and the other person just gets the, oh, my back hurts, my little baby toe, you know, has an itch on it. You know, I can't really do the vacuuming today. And so I was kind of like that in my growing up. I would end up doing the chores, but I actually like cleaning. That was a really weird thing, so I kind of enjoyed it. So anyhow, so it's hard sometimes, you know, and that I think we look at the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, favoritism is a reality. You know, and I'm a parent. I have little small ones right now. It's going to take a little while before they get up, so they can maybe acknowledge this. But I think it's going to be very hard to treat each individual, every child, 100% fairly, right? Give them equal amount of time and care, and have a nickname, a baby nickname for each one, so they all feel special, and give them the same amount of hugs and kisses and all that stuff. That's going to be very tough. And it's almost inevitable that one of them are going to feel like the other one is being favored, or that other one gets off and I end up have to do the chores. So that's almost like a fact of life, which is kind of sad. And when you start working in companies also for all the youth out there, you'll find out that, hey, I feel like I'm doing much more than the other guy. He's getting paid the more, right? And this happens in life in general. So whether it's with families, in the work field, if you will, you know, and that becomes very frustrating. I'm not saying that's something we have to accept, but that's something that, you know, you kind of have to not make it the end of the world and see what the best way that you could kind of navigate to. And yes, communication is going to try to help, you know, tell your parents that, you know, scheduling that Sister Fatima mentioned, that might help for them to see it in that kind of, you know, equal order that everyone's sharing everything, when sometimes that doesn't even play out. That's very frustrating for those youth out there that are going through that. You know, may Allah SWT bless you with patience. And, you know, for the parents out there, equality is important. I'll end on this. There's a hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, why one of the Sahabis came to him and he said, you know what? I want to give my son this gift. And he said, can you bear witness that I'm doing this? And so obviously the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam basically will the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam approve of this? Prophet is going to approve of it, and inshallah be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and will have a lot of blessings. So he was trying to get this acknowledgement from the Prophet. And his wife actually told him to go and talk to the Prophet. And so the Prophet says, well, did you give a gift to all your other children? And he said, no, I'm just giving it to this one child. He said, then the Prophet said, then I will not bear witness to your gift giving. And I don't want to bear witness to injustice that might be done. So the Prophet took it all the way there, right? Saying that that's not fair, then if you're going to give it to one child, he checked him. He's like, are you going to give it to all of them? He said, no. Then like, I'm not going to bear witness to that. And he actually connected to being unjust, right? Which is a very harsh term to extent. But that's very important because that kind of breaks up families. That's the only thing we're talking about today, right? Is when children feel that they're not being favored or someone else is being, treated equally and someone else is being favored, that seeps down the heart. And believe me, 30 years when they're grown-ups and at a wedding, that stuff might come out. You see, that's the reason why his wedding was at a hotel and I was at a community center. And they're like, whoa, where did that come from? Well, because the way you treated me when we were 8 years old, and now this is all coming out. And believe me, subhanAllah, may Allah protect us of this. It comes out. If you don't have this, it kind of seeps there and it grows. And may Allah bless our parents. It's very tough to have that balance. But alhamdulillah, I really appreciate Sister Fatima and Sister Nadia. They are doing a great job today as the MYG family therapist here, alhamdulillah. And, you know, they're inshallah on their way to a productive career. And hopefully a lot of youth out there, hopefully this was kind of fun, a lot of practical, hopefully open up some eyes to you in terms of solutions in your family. Remember, think about number one, Yusuf alayhi salam and his forgiveness for his siblings. Number two, Ibrahim alayhi salam and his respect for his parents, right, or his elders. You could say that also. And we talked about not breaking relationships with your family, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a very, very severe thing in Islam. And then some of the scenarios we went over here, hopefully it was somewhat practical and maybe, you know, touched a couple of notes of you at home, what maybe some things that you go through and hopefully could help you out in that situation. Closing words from Sister Fatima, Sister Nadia.
Yeah, so thank you all for coming. I hope you enjoyed. Hope we had like a good little therapy session here. if you enjoyed this event and, you know, for future events and stuff, we have them every Friday, sometimes Saturdays. So follow MYG ISOC on Instagram and on other social media, Facebook and stuff, for updates to stay updated. If you have any more questions, you can email them to Sheikh Shahid, if you can put your email in the chat. And you can DM it to us on Instagram and we'll try and get back to you as soon as we can. And yeah, tell your friends about this and come next time too. Bring your friends and family. And I hope this was enlightening.
Alhamdulillah. Go ahead, Sister Nadia.
If you guys like this event, as Sister Fatima said, we have it every Friday. We do have text messages reminded. Email Sheikh Shahid if you want to be added to our reminder message chain. And inshallah, we will see you guys next Friday.
Yeah, inshallah. Yeah, we did have a lot of some QAs here. I'm kind of sorry, I didn't, you know, it's last minute here. We have Brother Kareem, mashallah, has a lot of things that he put here, a lot of comments. We appreciate you attending that he put here. You could put more comments and questions, some points here about that be respectful to families and inshallah get you into Jannah. He doesn't know any parents that call their children princess, maybe Sultan or Sultana. That was a little bit too much there. Sister Ikra, our MOIG advisor, saying how we, in terms of studying and being along with the family so much in this pandemic, it's hard to handle yourself without fighting and arguing. What can someone do? I really highly encourage people to have their own personal time. So even though, yes, family is very beautiful, but you need your own personal time. And that might be a walk outside by yourself, you know, sitting in the backyard, you know, laying down, whatever, you know, whatever you have to do. You kind of need your little own time. Salah is a very perfect time for that also. Make your dhikr. That's very nice for the soul to sit there and you actually read some Quran. But like physically, just get out if you will. You don't have to go in crowds of people. But to try to give some of that space if you can't find it in the house. If you have, you know, 10 members in your house or something like that, or 4 members, wherever it might be, then, you know, you're trying to find something that you could do to kind of get that solace, try to get that peace. I think that's very, very, very important. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. We'll see you next Friday. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Kirimi Rabbil Alameen, to bless our families. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us connected and enter us into Jannah through our family relations. Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the patience of Ibrahim and his composure and give us the forgiveness of Yusuf alayhi salam as he did with his brothers. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from this coronavirus and the pandemic that is going on, to cure those who are sick and forgive those who have passed away. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun alal mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah ta'ala, take care. We'll see you next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.